Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. I know a priest who came into his office after an afternoon of pastoral calls. He put down his communion kit, then pressed the voicemail button. One of the messages was from his 10-year-old daughter. "Dad, I'm a lector at church for this Sunday, and I have that passage where Jesus says, 'Turn the other cheek.' You know the passage, right? Do the other Gospels have that same passage? Is it different in the other Gospels? Could you please let me know? Because, no offense, Dad, but I think Jesus was wrong." The other night at our vestry meeting, we began like we normally do, with using the gospel for the upcoming Sunday for our reflection and prayer. When it came time for the vestry members to share their personal thoughts, one of the vestry members said, "I never would have picked this gospel to pray about in a million years." Another vestry member said, "I'm not even going to get into this. Jesus says, if anybody wants to sue you, I stop there. We have 3 lawsuits pending right now." I agree with anyone who found today's gospel hard to hear or understand. These statements are not descriptions of normal human behavior. Sounds like we should be passive and take abuse. Don't resist. Turn the other cheek. Give even more if someone sues. Carry someone's bags 2 miles instead of 1. Give to any and every person who asks. I agree, this does not sound like normal or rational human behavior. What were you thinking, Jesus? I wish we could avoid today's gospel, but we can't. It's a part of the lectionary for year A. This year is A, next year is B, next year is C, then we start over with A. So all the mainline churches in all the world have to deal with this gospel today. Okay, then, what was Jesus trying to tell us? First of all, Jesus did not want his disciples to be fixated on rote observance of Jewish law, but the spirit behind them. So the question becomes, what is the new spirit or behavior that Jesus was after? The Jewish law was difficult enough, as we heard in Leviticus this morning. But in these verses, Jesus pushes for behavior that seems even more difficult, a degree of difficulty to the next power. He tells us to love our enemies. And then to make sure we get it, what he means, he describes what an enemy looks like for us. They are the ones who have injured us, strike us, sue us, compel us. Love our enemies. Love those who have hurt us. But how, Jesus? Jesus begins by telling us to not maintain our honor by exacting revenge. He asks us to make ourselves vulnerable instead of returning blow for blow. Even though this does sound like Jesus is asking us to be passive, something else is going on. Our attitude, our stance in the face of conflict, can actually be a way of seizing the initiative. In other words, demonstrating our deepest Christian value, the power of love, rather than succumb to the violent agenda set by the striker, the abuser, the bully. This gospel also seems to ask for the impossible. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. But we want to probably say to Jesus, we are not perfect. In fact, Jesus, in case you haven't noticed, we can't handle one more thing right now. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, of which this gospel is a part of, was to a people who had been downtrodden for many generations. They could not handle one more aggressive thing. They were a conquered people. Roman armies and rulers such as Herod and Pontius Pilate oversaw their land and properties. Fellow Jews were hired to collect taxes to support Rome. They were exploited in every way possible. They suffered emotional and physical abuse at the hands of the Romans. For instance, it was Roman law that if a Roman soldier wanted a Jewish citizen to carry his 40-pound knapsack, by law, that person was required to carry it 1 mile. But Jesus is saying, carry the 40-pound knapsack 2 miles. Jesus is using exaggerated language throughout this gospel to make a point. Jesus is counseling a different way. Diffuse conflict by yielding more than is required. But suppose you were living 2,000 years ago and a Roman soldier tells you to carry his 40-pound knapsack. You go the required 1 mile and are seething with resentment, seething with resentment. But Jesus is telling us to not poison ourselves with resentment, but rather seize the initiative and do more. The heart of this gospel tells us this. What underlies all of these extreme examples is a particular kind of love, an outward focus beyond what is called for. Jesus is describing a kind of love that is truly of a higher difficulty to choose. But sometimes we do make choices beyond what we thought we were capable of, or choose to do something because we see beyond ourselves for a greater good. The greater good in these verses is in loving in such a way that the abusers, those who insult or sue or compel, may, by our example, be led to a better way. That is agape love. Agape love is more an action than a feeling. Agape love is the divine, selfless love, which will go to any length to attain the well-being of another. Agape love is the love which God has for us. Agape love is the love of a parent for their child. Agape love is when a soldier falls on a live grenade to save the lives of his buddies. Agape love is when a stranger jumps into a fast-moving river to save someone calling for help. Agape love is helping someone who was a source of resentment. Agape love is about forgiving and forgiveness, setting someone free. Because agape love is more an action than a feeling, it is why Jesus described behavior that truly is beyond a typical human response to conflict. The idea is that by showing agape love even to our enemies, we act as true sons and daughters of God. We begin to make a difference in the world at a life-changing level. Jim Wallace is a noted theologian, minister, and author. Years ago, he was walking home from his church office when he was set upon from behind by a gang and knocked to the ground. He was able to roll over and stood up. He was shocked to see that before him was a group of three teenagers and a younger kid. The young kid was trying to kick him with imitation karate kicks. The three teens fell back when they saw he was taller and he was not intimidated. Jim said, "I decided to confront them, not intending to hurt them, but only to fend them off. I told them to just stop it, to stop terrorizing people, to stop such violent behavior in our neighborhood. Finally, I shouted at them, 'I'm a pastor.' And I told them if they wanted to try to beat me up and rob a pastor, they should come ahead and take their best shot. I knew that invoking the authority of the church in the street is hardly a sure thing these days when our churches often have such little involvement there. Whatever it was that changed their minds, the young gang turned and ran. 'Get back here,' I shouted at them, then instantly realized it probably wasn't a good thing to say at that moment. But then something unusual happened. The littlest kid, who couldn't have been more than 4.5 feet tall, turned back and looked at me as he ran away, and with a sad face and voice, the young karate kicker said, 'Pastor, ask God for a blessing for me.' He and his friends had just assaulted me. The little one had tried so hard to be one of the big tough guys, yet he knew he needed a blessing. The young boy knew he was in trouble. I think they all did. To make a difference in this world, we need two things. We need to function from the God level of loving, from an agape love. The second is to realize that change will happen for a bully or an enemy when we don't try to overcome another by superior force or by making someone feel like a fool. Loving our enemies is restoring another's humanity, their dignity, and our own." I quote from today's Children's Sunday paper, "Disarm aggression with preemptive goodness." This challenging gospel is about living according to the standards of the kingdom of God. This gospel, as you know, does not describe normal human behavior. However, it is about possibility, that we may love others as God has loved us, fully, richly, abundantly, and completely. Amen.